bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
It's the Gamer Show on the British Tech Network.
That lacked everything.
So we can try again.
It's the Gamer Show.
It's the Gamer Show.
We should probably stop talking about games because we're quite bored now. We should just talk about our passion, which is ferret wrangling. which Sam will now display using nothing but a ferret and his hands.
And my wrangle. Yeah. Obviously.
Okay. So we got some correspondence this week.
Oh, that was actually the start, was it?
Yeah, that's the start.
All right, that was good.
Have you guys read the letter that Martin Tones sent in very kindly?
Mm.
He wrote it on parchment.
No, I didn't.
Posted it.
Really?
Via Raven.
Excellent.
Mm. He did.
Yeah.
So you had to retype that?
I did.
Instead of just copying and pasting?
No, we put in the scanner. My scanner has a parchment setting.
Saving up for the stone tablet one.
Yes.
Jesus has a human skin setting.
So, he says, hi. I've only recently found your podcast and have enjoyed catching up in the last few podcasts on Stitcher.
Masochist.
I just noticed that you mentioned the new South Park game, The Stick of Truth, in recent podcast, and wanted your thoughts on the fact that it's not been announced as yet for either Wii U or 3DS. The reason I mention this is it's going to be an RPG, and the second screen on both consoles would help with things like managing your inventory. Plus, I can't see it being graphically intensive either. If Nintendo wants to get games from more devs on their consoles, they need more games like this. Keep up the good work, thanks. So, thank you very much, Martin, for your email. What's your thoughts on that?
It's a fair point about...
It's a very fair point.
It's Wii U. Well, obviously, it's coming out for 360, PS3, and PC, so there's absolutely no reason why the Wii U can't play it. But I think it's the same. Everything, because the Wii U doesn't have a large install base, there's not a lot of developers actually committing to it. Yeah. That's not to say it won't come at a further date, and hopefully it will. But
no, I think he's got a really good point about the
3DS.
Yeah, he does.
The 3DS, I don't know, that might be a power thing. I don't know, because even though the game, obviously, graphic doesn't look at that intense, but I'm sure
it's a big game, I would imagine.
There's a lot more going on in the background with it, but still, I suppose it's not. It might well work on the 3DS, but I'm not a developer, so I'm not entirely sure.
I think what's happened is, after Chiz sent them all those new pictures of themselves, they've all just kind of given up the will to live and are just not bothering anymore. That's where Nintendo's problems stem from.
Since I emailed them, the suicide rate in developers has risen.
That's just funny, that.
Does Nintendo still... Do you remember back in the 90s with like the SNES and the NES and stuff? You had to actually pass... Like, your games had to be approved, very similar to the Apple app approval process. Is that still... Does that still exist just now for like the Wii U and the 3DS and stuff, do you know?
I think Nintendo have relaxed that a bit. Because it was Nintendo would change... Well, for example, if a game had blood in it, Nintendo would either get them to remove it or change it to green or something.
Yeah, yeah, because that happened to the Mortal Kombat games when it first came out, didn't it? Yeah.
But I think Nintendo have kind of moved on since the end of it.
Yeah, hopefully. So thank you very much for your comments, Martin. It's a very, very good point, and we're glad you're enjoying our Sunday afternoon chicanery.
I think, to be fair, with sensible comments like that, he should probably be doing the show and not us.
We also have our... show notes additioner, our deputy show note person, Ed Marshall, has given us a link to discuss. So thank you very much, Ed. He sent us a link to a super rare Nintendo game that's hit
Martin
eBay.
And Ed, the two of them together, are really holding things together. They could well do this better than we could.
So there's this super rare NES game has appeared on eBay. Ed has given us the link to the... I really stammered over that there. Ed has given us the link to the BBC News article. Sorry, yeah, that's your thing.
I work hard at that, you ass bastard.
So apparently the first...
What's that? What did you just call him?
An ass bastard. I was going to go for ass hat, but then I decided, no, I'm going to say bastard.
Are we allowed that word, or is that just a lot of beeps altogether then?
No, I've not noted them down. I think we're okay with those words.
Yeah, that's all right.
Rock on!
I don't know. We're only really bleeping the like three big ones. And
so we're all right with bugger and bastard.
Let's
even
not go nuts with them.
Bastard.
Yeah, I know. I think that's one of them kind of funny ones. Like they can say the other British word that's a swear word but isn't actually a swear word in America.
Which is?
I'm not saying it.
Well, you can bleep it. But
It's wanker.
All right.
All right. We don't need to bleep that.
It's variable.
No, we'd agreed we don't bleep wanker.
Okay. This is a fun conversation. Yeah.
Continue.
We can't remove wanker, otherwise there'll be no show, because that would be the three of us gone.
So the first bid came in of this... The first bid came in of this game at £3,000. Well, actually, it was $4,999, which is £3,000. And
what actual game is it? Someone spunked on top of the...
it's known as NES Nintendo World Championships, and it was designed for a competition that never went on general sale. Apparently, only 116 copies were ever made as part of a special event in 1990. So this is a very, very rare game. Apparently, in 2011, the same game sold a charity auction for $11,000, which is about £6,600, but was in much better condition. I don't know if you can see the picture there, guys.
Hold on. We remember, Sam is the walking exchange rate. So from now on, if you can read out the dollars, then he can tell us how much is in pounds and see how close he is.
Okay, $11,000.
It's like 1.6 at the moment, so...
So how much is that?
I can't think.
But apparently you're very good at that. That's like your one thing 1. You're good 6. At.
It's not my one thing. I have many things.
It is literally...
Wanking, buggery, and creating bastards.
It's literally
your
only...
three of the things that I excel at.
I would argue literally it's your only talent, and even then it's a lie.
Yes, so look at the state of this cartridge. It has the label ripped off, and somebody's written Mario on it in a biro.
It looks like... every magazine in Chase's bedroom.
I'm pretty sure if I was buying that of eBay, I'd go, are you sure it's that game?
it's clearly Biro Mario. It's it's ridiculous. And I don't even remember them having dip switches available. That's actually, when you open the picture up, I don't know if this one, it was in another article, I saw this one. But you actually can see, no, it's not that much better.
They're
the
same size.
Four dip switches there. I don't know. Because, anyway, so thank you very much, Ed, for sending that article in. That's given us a good couple of minutes of content. Grand. On to our headlines that we've taken so long to drag these together. So apparently China is blocking hostile video games. So in the last show we announced that nobody else knew about it, that China was now opening the Great Firewall of China to video games, which had been blocked since the 2000s. I think it was actually 2000. But China are now letting in these video games but blocking hostile ones. And it's expected games like Battlefield 4, which, let's be fair, the Chinese aren't really given too much of a positive slant on that game, probably won't get in because it's things that are seen
as
being
quite
negative.
That's funny, actually. Do you think now that China have opened it up, they're going to have to find a new nation to pick on as the bad guys?
Zimbabwe.
Why Zimbabwe? It's the first one you thought about.
Zimbabwe, I think they're open to...
My arch nemesis, Zimbabwe Steve.
Fair enough.
I am Zimbabwe Steve.
No, we're not doing more impressions.
That was an impression. That was actually his voice. What are you writing down? You're not bleeping that.
Kind of accent is that?
It's my Zimbabwe accent.
Oh, right, okay.
Hello, I am Zimbabwe Steve. I'm from Zimbabwe, I enjoy coconuts. Anyway, continue.
Do you even get coconuts in Zimbabwe?
I don't think so. I have it in my head that they're kind of coastal, but I might be wrong on that.
I'm 63% sure it's on their flag.
Oh
dear, right, okay.
Oh wow. Yeah, because I forgot your skill at flag association for countries. Yeah.
I always excel at that part of the pub quiz.
You do.
Right, okay, I'm moving on. So that's a thing.
Yes.
Or not.
All hail the Communist Party.
So apparently,
China obviously will veto a lot of, or not letting games, or have games
certain
altered.
Games in, yeah.
I think it's kind of understandable, because you don't, although, actually, to be fair, we're still letting in Assassin's Creed whatever the one was.
But they have the disclaimer at the beginning that says that it's made by multicultural people. I think that's around it.
I don't think there's any of my people in there. We would have crushed that idea.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, anyway, The Last of Us DLC release date was leaked, but then subsequently confirmed by Naughty Dog. So apparently the release date is going to be February the 14th. It originally showed up on the pre-order in the PlayStation Store with a date attached to it, which kind of forced Naughty Dog to actually tell people when it was getting released. So,
see, now it's next month. It's not exactly telling something like it's that early ahead of schedule anyway. So.
Yeah. Xbox One Titanfall Limited Edition controller. It's coming out on March the 11th, although I think it's the 16th in the UK.
Who buys this stuff? It's like it's a really expensive controller.
It looks a bit naff, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm not a fan of these sort of stuff. I don't get why people...
Just got like transfers on them, haven't they?
No, I think it is actually probably done quite well, but I think it looks a bit naff. It's going for $64 in the States. Actually, this is a good test. What's that in British pounds?
It's basically... 64.
Well, I'll leave that with you, being chiseled carry on this conversation. Let's see if you're quicker than Google. Hang on, I'm just going to Google.
No, I'm
it.
Not going to be. 42 or something.
64.
Except it'll not be. It'll be £64.
In pounds, hold on.
Just do pounds to dollars, idiot.
It's £38. Oh. But it'll not be. There's no way it'll be that cheap in this country.
No, it'll be $64.
The standard,
64 quid.
The standard controller is what? 45. Yeah. So they'll sell that here, but it's 55 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, interestingly, the only place in the UK... So in the States, you get it from the Microsoft store, and it's sold out at the Microsoft store in the States for $65.
You sad bastards.
And in the UK, Game have the exclusive... And it's sold out there as well. And so much so, they're not actually showing the price on Game's website. So I couldn't even tell how much it's going to be in the UK. But it's sold out. Unbelievable. Yeah. I don't
why
think
would
it's
you, why would you buy
quite
it?
A few people, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But why would you buy it before you've actually even played the game?
Think about it. This. I did think there was maybe a slight argument for this.
Because the game could probably, now be awful.
Yeah, it could be. I don't think it will be, but it could be. Think about it this other way. This is maybe a really good marketing thing. So a bunch of folk bought Xbox Ones pre-Christmas. That came with one controller. They've probably come through Christmas time or got it for Christmas, got into January and thought, could really do with a second controller. And then they're quite fancy in Titanfall at the same time, and they're instantly going, for another tenner, I could get one of those nice, if they think it's nice. If the design's
is it
personal
worth the
opinion.
Extra tenner? I just don't.
Are they limited edition?
Yeah, they're limited edition.
So maybe they're buying them in the hope that Titanfall's a huge hit and then flogging them off.
But it's like, I don't see the point, because if you're looking at your controller while playing games, you're doing it wrong.
Unless you're playing a Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to type like that, so I think maybe I'll be better at games if I start doing that. Amy plays games like that. She keeps looking down to see which button she should be pressing. It's good.
1313 has sadly been abandoned.
So
we reported that...
You can use it already, but it's kind of official.
Well, this is them abandoning the trademark. So previously they'd announced that they were cancelling production on it.
Unless the game's going to exist in a different name. And
it's possible, but it's certainly not looking too positive. No. That looked like a really good game for what little we've seen of it. But
it's LucasArts is totally dead now, isn't it? It got destroyed, and then it's obviously EA, unless they pass on that game
it's
engine.
It's been cut up and fed to Pluto.
Yeah.
That's how they deal with these things.
If they take all the technical game engine, maybe give that to EA, might do something with it. But who
knows?
Who knows?
Give them out of sympathy last night.
Yep, that's definitely not the show title, that one.
GTA. No, we've got a plethora already. We're only like, 5 minutes in. GTA 5 bug log has been leaked, referencing a PC release. GameSpot reported that a leaked 150-page bug log for Grand Theft Auto 5 is said to show over 170 references to a PC version of the game, with the mentions beginning way back in June 2012. So I guess, from our source, we know that it's in production, the PC version. We also know that our source tells us that there's a next-gen version of it.
Or current-gen, we should be calling it.
Sorry, current-gen, you're right, yeah, quite right. Current-gen. So this is basically just a little bit more confirmation. But I have a side moan.
He also said it was going to be it'd be a launch title, and it's not happened. So well, we now get to remove his fingers.
Yeah, maybe it turns out our source's source actually is like the janitor at Rockstar.
Quite possible.
The So I've got a side moan about this. So I got a wired Xbox controller because I learned that you could use them on the Mac and the PC. Well, we know we can use them on the PC, but I found that you could use them on the Mac with like this little piece of software. Bunch of games come with the availability without you having to do anything to it, so you can play the game. So, for example, Bioshock Infinite on the Mac, you just plug in an Xbox 360 controller and you can use the controller on the Mac, which is awesome. Other games such as Minecraft, you have to download an app, which is like about a fiver called Joystick Mapper, and basically what that does is it maps keyboard commands over to...
I'm going to have to press you to the point here, Paul.
So, my point is that I downloaded all the Grand Theft Auto games for the Mac, so Vice City, San Andreas, and none of them work with the controller. Yeah. Natively, or with any of these mapping programs. Mm-hmm. Basically what happens is, you load the game up, and all the controls work except for the right thumbstick. And basically all that does is it just spins round and round your character. Constantly just spins. So it's clearly locked in one particular way. And I thought that was ridiculous. It's a game that has natively been created in its inception for control pad support.
PS2 controller.
Hmm.
Because I think I got free, I got San Andreas, I got free my PC, and I thought, oh, I'm not putting any use at all. So I installed that, tried putting my 360 controller on the PC, didn't work. And I looked up in it, and apparently... Even if you can hook up, it's either it must be a PlayStation 3 controller.
Right.
I think you can use that, but you have to download some and set it up. And I thought, oh, I can't be bothered.
Well,
on the PC, it's not emulated to work with the 360
that's
controller.
Ridiculous. I was really annoyed about that because Vice City.
Playing the keyboard doesn't work with that game. I'm not a fan of third person games with
a keyboard. No.
With a keyboard.
I'd never played Vice City. At all. I think I borrowed it off of you briefly or something like that, but it's the only Grand Theft Auto game that I didn't own. And I really was looking forward to playing Vice City, but I just don't want to play with the keyboard and the mouse. I just don't think it's a game that lends itself to that, but apparently I'm going to have to. So
You'll adapt to it.
It's a side moan, but... Anyway.
Moving on.
I prefer keyboard and mouse.
Nintendo Slash's...
For pretty much anything now.
Fair enough.
Nintendo Slash's Wii U 3DS sales projections, and there was also briefly, albeit they've been squashed now, possible mobile target rumours. So this is basically Nintendo had a target, an internal target of 9 million Wii U's to be sold up to March the 14th.
Slashed it by quite a bit.
Yes, quite a bit. Now, 9 million up to their financial year end in March the 14th, and they've now updated that to 2.8 million. That's some
a
slash.
Hell of a slash.
Yeah. They've also updated the 3DS as well, but I couldn't get any exact figures.
I thought 3DS
was
doing all
right. Yeah, they've not tweaked it quite as badly, but they definitely have tweaked it.
I take it the sales now maybe they've started to slow down, and that's why they've done that. But the 3DS original sales have been doing pretty well.
Yeah, and then you get the 2DS, and yeah. I think it's just a matter of time before we get like a 3DS Lite or something, which is thinner. And
there's rather than releasing the same... handheld, but a different style. Just get something new out at some
point.
I think they just need to realise that they can't just bring out a console and then go, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
They've actually got to then chase up developers to make things work on their platform.
I think the Wii U had loads of potential. I mean, that Zombie U game
was excellent.
It was really, really good.
It was really good.
And I mean, even the second screen thing and playing like old retro games, and I know that kind of goes against what you're saying about bringing out something new, but that was really good. That being able to like play on the big screen or take it away and play it as like a Vita or a 3DS for argument's sake, was awesome. I really, really liked that, and they just, I don't think they've ran with it.
Yeah.
They really haven't.
It looks like this year it might be starting to get some games now. There's Mario,
new Mario Kart,
Mario, which came out just end of last year, and got Mario Kart and hopefully a new Zelda. But
so you're gonna sneeze. The worst.
They shouldn't be chasing up some of the big boys.
Yeah, but I suspect we won't see a Zelda till next year. There, so I think.
Yeah, another kind of Mario.
I'm still tempted to get a Wii U, but I'm going to wait until there's actually a few games I want for it, and then by then the price is probably even dropped.
Well, the price has dropped this week on this news. I sent a link to. Was it in Argos? I sent the link to you.
Amazon, but I think Argos did it first and Amazon matched them, but since then Amazon's went back up. It's £180. I was really tempted by that.
Because everything's back up. I checked just before we started recording, £250 and back again.
I suspect later on this year I'll be able to get something much the same price, but with games, I reckon.
Yeah. But so, briefly, there was something that the Nintendo guy, I've forgotten his name now, had
Iwata
said, had sparked this internet boom about, oh my God, they're going to be releasing Mario for the iPhone, which a couple of folk actually put links on my page. I think Ed Marshall did put a link in the Gamer Show page, I think, and my cousin Ross also put a link on my page to this article. They've since come out and said that doesn't, what we've said doesn't mean mobile, but...
I think in a typical Nintendo fashion, everyone's misunderstood what they've tried to say. They do that quite a lot. They say something,
yeah.
And like the whole reveal of the Wii U was a total cock up, because no one actually, folk thought at first, because they didn't actually show the console, they showed the tablet,
mm-hmm.
and the controller, and they thought that it was just that.
Yeah.
No, it's just attached to the console. Well, show the console as well.
I think they should also hire better translators, obviously, because mm-hmm. things are being missed.
Yes. Fable Anniversary Pack has been announced, being released on the 7th of February on the Xbox 360. And basically, as far as I can tell, I originally put this link in the show notes because one article I read said that it was a new Fable, Fable 2, and a remake of Fable 1. But since then, I have read, and it is essentially a remake of Fable 1 using Xbox 360, because Fable 1 came out in the original Xbox.
Yeah.
So basically, it's Fable...
Fable Legends, which is the next-gen, the brand new one that's coming out later this year.
So the article I originally read had kind of got all those news stories sort of mixed up, where you had Fable Legends coming out on a pack along with the first one and the second one. For some reason, the third one, and what was that one called that came out for the Kinect? I don't know, it was Fable Journey or something like that.
The Journey or whatever the hell it was.
Something like that. So
that no one played.
Yeah, exactly. Not even me, who was at the time really desperate for a good Kinect game. I didn't even buy it, and I like Fable games.
I don't think it was a good Kinect game.
So apparently it's the first game all over again, but it includes Xbox 360 exclusive content, achievements, lost chapters, and some smart glass integration, which I am yet to see a game that use well smart glass. But that's
the Zombie U.
That's not smart glass.
This
is Xbox's. You use it on like your iPad or your Android.
I was trying to use the Dead Rising. Because like apparently you can use your phone or like you just smart glass. You know, and you're playing Dead Rising 3. You get a guy who calls you on the radio.
Yeah.
If you've got your smart glass activated, you can hear it through that.
And also, he sends stuff to your phone.
But you can also call an airstrike with it. But I linked up to my Xbox and it saw what game I was playing, but I couldn't suss how to actually.
Right.
Do all that. It's like I had no option. I was like, okay, but yes, I know I'm playing Dead Rising 3. Give me options here, and it was nothing.
Mm.
So unless I'm totally missing or the fact that. The app for it, it's on my Google Nexus 7, is like the phone one, you need the proper tablet one. I'm not entirely sure.
There's an Xbox One one and an Xbox 360 one.
That's one and that.
Right, okay.
That's what I was using.
My brother tells me that the Madden 25 for the Xbox One, which I have and I've just not played yet because I've been playing other games, apparently that uses smart glass quite well.
You set your formations and
stuff? Yeah, it's basically your playbook is your tablet, so you can kind of...
That'd be quite handy.
Yeah, I think it will be. But I got it last week with like two or three games and I've just not got to it yet. So when I get to it, I'll probably end up playing online with Russell and I can report back on that one.
I've used it for... I've used the smart glass for controlling my Xbox One just to see if it was better than the one for the 360. And it does work basically straight away when you press buttons on the 360. It seemed to be there was always a slight delay.
Right.
But this, when you press buttons, it seems to come up straight away wherever you're doing. So at least that way it works well.
Yeah.
But as I say, I've still to actually properly use it for anything. Unless I've been stupid and missed an option somewhere, but I couldn't suss how to get Dead Rising 3 to work with it.
I'd like to see it in... like the new Elder Scrolls game, because they're blatantly going to bring an Elder Scrolls game out.
Inventory and stuff like that.
That would be quite cool.
Be really handy. I also want, and it's going to fall onto something else, that's how you do a segue.
Actually, Stick of Truth. That would be quite good for the same reason that Martin mentioned at the beginning of the show.
That would be quite canny.
Using smart glass for Stick of Truth.
I'd like to sit on a new Fallout game, so crack on and make a new Fallout game. Hurry up.
There's rumours it's in development anyway.
Yeah.
Xbox One to get 60 frames per second sports broadcasts, but likely not in the UK. So basically it's a deal Microsoft...
So why even bother saying it's 60 frames a second? Because is that not the thing that in America they get 60 frames a second anyway, and over here
I don't know enough about that stuff.
Well, is that not what you were saying, or you possibly, about the whole, if you watch...
That's Hertz. That was the 50-60 Hertz thing.
Ah, right, okay.
Because we're... our TV signals are at 50 Hertz, while America's at 60 Hertz, and that's what's messing the Xbox One up over here, because it runs at 60 Hertz. So that's why it skips a frame when you're watching, say, your Skybox through your Xbox.
See, I've never even noticed that, and I watch my Skybox and my Xbox all the time.
Apparently, if you notice it, apparently when you're watching sports, it's quite noticeable. And if there's like
the new, you got a newsreel,
kind of like Sky News thing that runs all day on a Saturday.
Yeah. But it's something that's not long, you can see it when that's going along the bottom and whatnot. So keep an eye out for it. But it might be something that once you notice it, it'll ruin it for you. Maybe try and avoid it.
Yeah. So apparently, this is just Microsoft have signed a deal with a provider that's going to put this content straight on the Xbox. But due to the fact Americans have the NFL and I think it's the NBA app, that means that you can stream all these games on your Xbox, and the British Xbox don't. We have to, if we want to use that content, we have to use the iPad or the iPhone app and stream it. But then you have to have an app.
I'm sure there will be something coming here that surely they'll get a deal with Sky. And
well, I think that's a problem. Sky's got all the deals for the NFL at the moment. But anyway, Microsoft reports healthy profit after bumper Xbox launch. So basically, Microsoft did their earnings reporting last week, and they are reporting 3.9 million Xbox One consoles. Up to the 24th of January, which was Friday, I think
it was. That's not sold, because apparently they've
sold. Yeah, that's just two retailers.
They've sold 3 million, but the 3.9 is how many they shipped.
Yeah,
and which is actually makes the PS4 look even more, because according to Sony, the PS4 sold 4.2 million.
Yeah,
so Sony sold more consoles than Microsoft shipped.
But and not to defend it, I think it's still a fair point. But PS4 is available in more countries. But you know, it's they're both
doing well. Who cares? Numbers are for deluded fanboys and for these companies. But it's good that both consoles are selling well.
Yep.
So it means no matter what you end up going for,
you're going to get a good choice of games. Yeah basically. Microsoft says competitive pricing for digital downloads on the agenda. So from Larry Major Nelson Herb, he apparently said that digital downloads, cheaper digital downloads, are indeed on the agenda.
Well, they need to, like, one thing I was impressed with was when the Xbox One first came out, Rise and Forza 5 were £45 for digital download, which was basically as cheap as you could find in the shops at the time. Since then, they've went up to £50. Which I thought, well, a bit crap. But that's still cheaper, apparently, what you're getting on the PlayStation 4, because the PlayStation 4 exclusives are like £52 or £53 or £55, which seems... It's like, who's going to buy a digital game that you have to wait and download? Or, like, say, if you run out of space, you might remove a game, you have to re-download it to play it again. It's like, if you've got a hard disk, you just chuck it and reinstall it.
Yeah.
So it's like...
It's fine if
digital games
need
to be there needs to be incentive. They need to be cheaper.
Yeah.
But I think one of the major reasons why they're not is the retail shops... are forcing the price up, because they're obviously feeling that if the digital is cheaper, folk will just do that rather than walk into their shops and buy.
Yeah. I think the other thing in this article was talking about pre-release digital downloads as well. So like with Steam, I've never done it, but I'm sure, Sam, you've talked about it, where if you pre-order a game, you can pre-download it, you just can't play it until the day of release.
Although
which would be quite handy.
I don't, because generally Steam's far, far too expensive.
Yeah. Well, unless you go into Steam sale. Which generally pre-release stuff is not.
Or you can Steam code through Green Man Gaming, a cheaper way to do it, rather than buying straight from Steam.
Yeah. You've just reminded me of another article we were going to talk about that I haven't put in the show notes, was the 13 GB download for Dead Rising 3.
Mm. I left out the download overnight and it was fine the next day, but it was just that's ridiculous. That
it size. Is. I keep meaning
it's
to
not
do it.
As I told you, it's not, thankfully it's not an extra 30 GB on top of any more space. It replaces 12 GB, another 1.1 to set up for a new. For DLC, it's coming soon, apparently.
That would take
me
about a week where I am at the moment.
Yeah, well, hopefully not much longer. SimCity finally has received an offline mode. So we reported quite heavily on this way back when it broke and there was all the server issues and stuff like that. And if you remember way back when they originally said, and everybody was going, well, if the servers aren't working, why didn't you make an offline mode? And they were told that it would be impossible to make an offline mode. And now somebody has invented magic and it's all working. So... that's the end of that. So basically it's the current SimCity game, but you have an offline version of it, and that actually makes it interesting to me all of a sudden.
Have you got the game, Mario?
No, I didn't. I stayed away from it because as we were discussing pre-show, so I can play it when I'm traveling and things like that.
Now I can
so I am probably going to purchase that game now.
It should be a bit cheaper now as well.
I would imagine so that's quite good. Rockstar are taking aim at GTA online cheaters. It's an interesting article. So basically, I couldn't find anywhere that actually said how you go about it, unless you found something. But basically, players in the game have managed to make counterfeit money in the game and to break, and this was a quote from Rockstar, to game-breaking levels. So they've been flooding the game with this amount of cash, so you can buy houses and cars and boats and helicopters and planes and whatnot. And it's counterfeit. And I just can't get my head around how you make counterfeit money in a digital universe that's controlled by Rockstar. I can't.
I assume it's probably easier than doing it in real life.
Yeah.
Well, is it though? Because the bank account balances and everything like that are controlled by Rockstar.
Right, well, let's go and steal some printing plates and then purchase a printing press.
No, I mean in digital.
And then get
digital.
The paper.
No, digital.
And then we'll compare it to how easy it is to do it online.
No, so...
3, 2, 1, go!
So hacking into a bank system, I'm sure, is very, very difficult. But equally, I would imagine trying to get into Rockstar servers is probably a very similar level. So how is this being done? And obviously, Rockstar aren't advertising how it was done because more folk are going to do it. But they're taking aim at it. So basically, depending on how badly you've done it, they're going to take on the role of Judge Dredd in this one. And they're going to deem as what level of participation you had in this, and you will be given a reprimand to an according level.
Summary execution.
Well, basically, you are going to get banned. Some people are going to get banned from the game, apparently. Some people are just going to get stuck in a server with everybody else that cheated, so it basically levels the playing field.
Where they all wear dunce hats.
And apparently, if you have accidentally received some of this cash, some of this fraudulent cash, you're going to get the cash taken away, but you won't get any of your possessions that you've spent the money on taken away.
So spend up quick.
Yeah, basically. So interesting, I thought. But anyway, so that's basically the news. What game, Sam, being that you spent most of that news section researching what game you're going to talk about here, are you previewing?
I can't find anything.
There's nothing you're interested in.
I'm thinking The Order 1886 again, but really there's no news about it whatsoever.
See, I made a mistake. You mentioned that. Was it last week you talked about that?
No.
It was a couple of weeks ago. I think you talked about that in your preview. And I misunderstood.
It was mentioned at some point.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about 1313.
No.
So what's The Order 1886? I know we've talked about it before.
It's the thing for PlayStation where it's set in like what looks like a Victorian London, but steampunky. And there's all like vampire-y looking mutant-y monster things jumping around all over the place. And yeah, it looks pretty funky.
Cool.
Although, it's a third-person shooter, but apart from that, and they showed off the trailer, which was probably in-game, but
who knows at this point.
Yeah.
And I can't find anything else about
it. It's too early in development to actually see anymore.
Cool.
But really, I've looked through upcoming stuff, and there's not much. Stick of Truth coming out in a couple of months. The thing that Chiz is going to talk about is coming up, and that's quite exciting. But there's not a huge amount kind of listed of
you talk about
big,
penis,
decent stuff. Sorry? Am I talking about penis?
I thought you were talking about my penis, and I went, oh, he's talking about Thief. Right. It's like the thing that...
Well,
were you going to talk about your penis?
Chiz just dropped his mic.
That's very apt. Talking about
Chiz.
Your penis.
Brewers. What's your preview this week?
It's floppy to make it less threatening. yeah. Thief, which vaguely looking forward to, although which gets out in end of February, I think.
Yeah.
There's been a load of gaming websites have been reporting, must have been given hands on with it. And it's been kind of mixed. I think by the sounds of it, it's looking like a good stealth game, but a bad thief game. They're saying, although you can switch all the hand-holding features off to make it more like the thief and ramp up this, but it's saying the levels just seem a bit too linear and small for a thief game, and it should be more open. So, yeah, that's...
That would have to be really quite small, then, because I've played all of them not that long ago, and they're all quite small-ish.
It could be a case of the usual people looking at older games if it's rose-tinted glasses and not reading and thinking the game was much better than it actually was.
Well, it was pretty exceptional for its time.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah.
But, I'm hoping it's going to be good. I'll wait for reviews before buying it, but Thief's definitely piqued my interest in seeing it's basically the only game that's worth looking at it coming out in February, I think. until March and you got the Stick of Truth and whatnot. But yeah, Thief, but the previews haven't been all that great, and usually previews at least give a game a benefit of the doubt, but they've been kind of 50-50, good and negative. Within the same articles, they're saying, yeah, it's good, but this is good, but it's got this.
It's really disappointing.
Yeah, and as I say, usually previews try and up games.
Yeah,
but the previews I read, like on Eurogamer and whatnot, have been quite down on it. Mm. Without saying it's going to be awful, they're saying I think there's still a solid game there, but it's not living up to expectations for a Thief game, I think. But we shall see. We'll still see when it comes out.
I've been looking at Shadow of Mordor, which got an 8-minute walkthrough video released this week.
I thought it looked really, really good.
It really does, and I've been excited about Lord of the Rings games in the past, but I can't think of one that's been good.
The PS2 ones, which were based on actual films, were kind of hack and slash ones, weren't too bad.
But they were very repetitive.
Yeah. But they were just kind of pick up fun games for for about an hour max, and done.
Yeah, but this looks very good. It's getting a little bit of heat because, it's getting a little bit of heat, looking a little bit like Assassin's Creed, but to the point that actually they're being accused of using Assassin's Creed 2 code. But I think it does look like Assassin's Creed, but I honestly don't think that's a bad thing.
I think it's a mix of, as I say, Assassin's Creed and Batman. Mm. But for a game being a third-person action or stealth, how many way to do it, or both, it's always going to have those comparisons because those two franchises have nailed that.
How many ways can they do that?
Exactly. How many other ways can they do it? And the fact that it looks like and plays like them is not necessarily a bad thing because those were crack. Well, the good Assassin's Creed games and both the Batman games were brilliant.
So basically, you take on the role of a ranger. It's not one that's actually
Talon,
been, it's not actually one that's been in any of the Lord of the Rings films, I don't believe. But.
And he's half ring wraith or something, isn't he?
Was he really? Yeah, I missed that.
He's half ring wraith.
He's got wraith abilities or something. So he's able to corrupt and change people to work from the side or do various things. The whole.
I listened to half the trailer in silence because I was watching it at work. Right. So I only listened to some of the audio.
Well, it's basically you and your family and that, or your friend, whatever, you were stationed at the Black Gate, and then when Sauron came back and basically took over part of Mordor and took over the Black Gate, basically decimated everyone, but you were the only survivor. And the games explain how you got these abilities. So it's all about you basically getting revenge and whatnot. It's dangerous. I'm sure there's more to it than that, hopefully.
Yeah.
But you have to work your way up to, like, the major, well, basically to Sauron, I think, but you have to work your way through his generals.
Yeah.
So you have to find the generals through the generals, its lieutenants, and you can go. And you've got a choice how you want to do it. You can go stealth, full on attack, or some other ways. I don't know, or distractions. And when you capture one of his lieutenants, you then find by going entering his head, you can find out where the general is. And then with that lieutenant, you can either turn him to your side, or you can let him live, but he'll go and tell the rest about you. So it's like, which will put fear into his ranks and whatnot, and or a few other things. But what's quite good
is you could kill him.
Even standard soldiers, if in the middle of a fight they flee or they kill you, they become stronger because they've met you, and they'll pass on the abilities, and they'll actually, because they've survived a battle with you, they get stronger and move up the ranks. So at a later point, they could be one of the generals.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Just a box down a soldier, and so it actually creates your the conflicts you have create your enemies you'll have in your game. So they're all like personal enemies and whatnot, and it creates names for them and things like that. So that sounds quite a cool feature.
Yeah, it does. Cool. Sam, what have you been playing this week?
Fallout 3.
Is that it?
I kind of got the feeling that everyone knows about Fallout 3.
Yeah, they do. Okay.
What was different about this playthrough compared to your first? What did you do differently?
I went for more intellectual type guy, and
were you just like a thug in the first time around?
Do you know what?
May smash your face.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't remember what I did.
I always end up doing the same kind of things because I feel there are I feel there are certain... Yeah. I'm just going to leave. No, there are certain things that you need to be able to get through the game to enjoy it properly.
Mm-hmm.
Repair, lockpick, computer,
charisma.
Sneak, I think. Charisma to a certain degree, although you can get by on about 50-60 on charisma.
It's like I usually try and max out charisma because there's always whenever I'm talking to someone and I've got an option that's grayed out because I don't have a high enough charisma, it's like, but that's the option I want to choose now.
Yeah. if you get about 80 on small guns, then you can concentrate on everything else because that's going to keep you alive.
Yeah.
And then pass that, splurge on whatever you want.
And I think another reason why I try and go charisma as well is there's nothing more satisfying rather than, say, attacking a bunch of people head-on or being stealthy. But through your charisma, if you can manage to basically talk the enemies into killing each other without you doing anything, that's just far more satisfying.
Yeah, that is quite fun.
He says, yeah, he said he shagged your mum. I'm hovering him. Off you go. I'm pretty sure I don't need much charisma to say that
Friday,
to someone.
No.
Yeah. I say, my charisma must be 100%. I say that to people all the time.
Cheers, what have you been playing?
I've been playing the new latest Tomb Raider game, which came out last year, the year before. Mm-hmm. Got on PC in the Steam sale for like £6, I thought.
Yeah. I noticed that.
It's basically Tomb Raider's answer to Uncharted. It's pretty good. Bit too many quick times for my liking, but the exploring and the climbing mechanics and the shooting mechanics are all pretty solid, and it's got a leveling up system for making your guns better and things like that. Story and dialogue and characters are a bit fluff, really. Like, for example, you're part of a crew on a boat which gets shipwrecked in a big storm. And what nationality would you say the captain of the boat, you know, a gruff sort of captain, older?
Russian.
I'd say English.
I just assumed, because I've said that to someone before, and they guessed right, it's Scottish.
I think Russian.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I've never heard Russian.
No, they're
just
all
like crazy, gruff, mad Russian.
Yeah, I think everyone on the boat's mainly British and different parts, and we're doing weird Cockney accents and things like that.
You found that annoying.
But yeah, the character, it's not, I don't know, I said the dialogue's pretty cheesy, and when characters die that you're supposed to care about, it's kind of like, good, you had an annoying voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, but I'm enjoying it, but yeah, the stories, and yeah, there's weird stuff going on the islands. It's, an island, a weird island, I've not heard that before, it's been done in quite a few times now, but then it's alright, I'm enjoying it. I'll continue, but I'm halfway through the game, I think.
Yeah, okay.
But it's not too bad.
That was quite interesting, actually. Apart from Alex Vance, which I think is an obvious answer, what NPC characters have you ever given a damn about?
Ellie in The Last of Us.
I felt really sad for I've forgotten the guy's name now in that game that I've forgotten.
Well done. That was brilliant.
Dogmeat, Fallout 3. The dog.
Oh.
Hang on, I'm trying to see my games over there to see if, Gears of War. Gears of War when his
no
he found
one
his wife.
Cares about what?
That
and
scene
went,
when he
found
his wife.
She's dead.
Yeah, that
and
was
then he shot.
Sad.
He's like, oh, she's a zombie. She's
didn't even make any effort whatsoever to help her. He just shot her.
But the
psycho wanker
did the thing he had to do. I thought that was quite sad.
No, I
was quite moved by that.
I thought he was dead.
And the guy getting
tortured
in the latest Grand Theft Auto game, I felt very sorry for him.
Even Gentry, you were doing the torturing.
Yeah, no, that's kind of the point. I didn't really have an option. There wasn't a just leave button.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Which there should have been. Can you not just go, no, I'm not doing it?
It's Trevor. It's not part of his personality.
I think in Grand Theft Auto, that's the whole point in the game. Cause
before
that point, Grand Theft Auto, you're enjoying creating chaos.
Yeah.
And freedom, but when the game actually forces you to do something quite nasty, I think that's the whole point. You're meant to go, I don't want to do this. And the game's
this
going,
is not pleasant.
Yeah, but that's the reaction the game's going for.
Yeah.
It's like,
okay.
It was an awful scene to play through, but
Trevor's,
it was well done, I think,
and
for
Trevor,
what he was attempting.
If you listen to what Trevor's saying afterwards, when he's driving the car, after he's done all that, he basically says that.
Spoiler alert,
it's
by the
torture.
Way.
I'm not reading it. I'm not told who he's talking to.
It's Michael.
is saying that it's torture is crap because people will say anything to get out of it. Mm-hmm. So he's saying torture is pointless.
Yeah.
So why does he do it then?
Because he's kind of being forced to do it. In a, I've been playing Forza 5 on the Xbox One, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm not much in for racing games, but really good. I'm loving the Drivatar. really enjoying the Drivatar thing. So basically what this is...
your Drivatar's a knob.
So basically you drive in the game, obviously. And when you're not playing, your Drivatar appears in other random people throughout the world's games, but always in the people in your friends list.
Yeah.
So, like Chiz, when he drives on his own, on a single player, he's racing against me and Russell, and probably some more folk that's got the game. We appear, and we drive with our style of driving, so it kind of knows how we drive. And like basically, my tactic is I generally try and get the most cars head-on at the first corner, knock them all out the way, and then I've only got like half the pack to actually deal with in the rest of the race.
There was one race I was doing on my own where your Drivatar was in... I think I was in a Ferrari Enzo and yours was in a McLaren P1, which I found out to my nonce was incredibly quick on straights. And it, not only that, it was a golden chrome. Horrible paint job. So it's like, and your Drivatar is basically trolling this entire race. I managed to get past you in the corners, but every straight line I could just hear your car coming. And you'd either smash me right up the arse, drive alongside, then ram me, get in front of me, and then hit your brakes.
Yeah, and I do all those things.
Yeah, and
I think it's awesome.
And I actually caught myself going, "Fuck off, Paul, you knob end." And it wasn't actually you.
That's really good.
Yeah. It is very good.
Excellent thing.
Yeah.
We did a race the other night. So we were playing three player, myself, Chiz, and Russell, who was on the quiz and he's been on a couple of other shows. We were just doing three player and it got kind of boring because basically what was happening was we've all played it for a similar amount of time. So basically, first two or three corners, it was a bit of a challenge, but then Chiz got away from us. Then me and Russell would have a wee wrestle, and whichever one of us managed to hold it at a corner where we were trying to bash each other out would then take second. And it got a bit dull because after the first lap, whichever of me and Russell had managed to get out of that alive, whatever had happened, and whenever, we were always second.
Yeah. And whenever we tried to populate with AI Drivatars, it just lagged like hell.
It was incredible. There was one point where Chiz was driving just in front of me, and the lag was doing a really strange thing whereby it was taking his car and it fired it right up into the sky, and then it landed it again and then up in the sky. So basically his car was bouncing, like it was
fine on my screen, but your screen I was all
he was like bouncing up about a mile in the sky. And then now and again there was one point where Russell was following behind me and he overtook me on his screen. He didn't touch me at all, but on my screen he smashed into the back of me and knocked me off the track. The same thing happened. Russell got past me, but how he got past me was totally different in both of our crew.
It seemed to be totally stable when we were racing other people online, though. But the Drivatars, even its AI, just totally lag. It must be something they need to fix there. But
so we got some quite good videos, and when we were playing against, I think it must have been about 10 of us.
Dixie Normus.
we trolled him quite badly. We felt quite bad about
Russell,
it. I certainly felt quite bad about that.
It was Russell took offence to his name because he's got a small penis. And told Paul to smash him off in the first corner. And I managed to record it. And all I saw was Paul thundering past me. As I was hitting the brake for the first corner, Paul thundered past me and wiped out three other cars. Didn't even attempt to brake. Straight into that dude. Wiped him out, and I managed to record, and I thought it was quite fun. So
basically, he came last and ended up abandoning the game and never came back.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to us, and you coincidentally have that gamer tag, we apologise. But not really.
We always slag off people who are arseholes online gaming. We are them.
Yeah. It's good fun. I really like the game, though. It's a really good game.
You've now noticed the rumble triggers. And like, I'm actually... They're really, really good because it makes you a better driver because you can actually, as you can feel, if you're giving it too much throttle when your wheels are spinning or you're braking too hard,
it's really good. All of the assists that you can switch on full assists, which essentially all you need to do is hold on to the accelerator.
Yeah, it's right. You need to switch everything up. The only thing I've got on, I've got one of the, I've got the traction control, but not the stability control on. I've just got traction control on and I've got ABS. Those are the way.
Yeah, it's a two I've gone.
Only two assists I've
gone. But what I actually found is really good for, if you've got like a kid or something like that, like a child that you like to play these games with. Mm-hmm. It's really good because it means they can actually compete. Because, like, for example, when me and my daughter play these games in the past, she crashes at the first corner and it's no challenge for me. And it's no challenge for her because she doesn't like to keep on crashing. So you can switch all these things on.
Now it's just a challenge of ramming off from the first corner.
Yeah. So you can switch all these things on and she actually gets an opportunity to compete a little bit. Now, to be fair, she's been handheld the whole way, but nevertheless, it makes for a nice wee experience for... And playing along with.
It's a handicap.
Yeah. I think
it is, exactly. That's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
I think we bought the game at the right time because they fixed the whole how much the cars cost and how much you win. Because when the game, for example, I think I've nearly got enough money to buy the Lotus F1 car, which is 2 million credits. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that used to be 6 million credits. And you used to get less money when you won races as well. Right. So it would take ages. But thankfully there was a massive, obviously, backlash to all that because they felt that they were just trying to make folk, because there's a microtransaction where you can actually pay physical money and get all the cars that way.
Ooh.
So there was a lot of people going, accusing them of doing that, which I think they were, but thankfully they've listened to that and brought everything more in line. And it seems you still need to work to earn the cars, whatnot, but it does when you buy the car, it feels like you've earned it rather than being too easy. You just get handed all the cars. You don't want that. Yeah. You want to actually try and earn them. But
see, it should feel like it.
I think it's round about the sweet spot now where it's like
it is.
Expensive, but not too expensive, and it's not too easy.
One big complaint I still have about the game, and it's the same with all the other Forzas, is that you can't buy like maybe half a dozen cars and use them in every race. You basically every championship you enter, you have to buy a new car,
If you check all the leagues, usually your first few cars you can use them in a few different leagues, but with the same tournaments within the leagues, you'll have to change your car and things like that.
Yeah, and I find that I just want maybe like 5 or 6 in the garage, and I can just use those and just tweak the engines and things like that. And I get used to how those drive and things like that. That's been the same with all the Forzas, so it's not really anything that should be surprising. This podcast and all the others in the British Tech Network are brought to you by UK2. They are superb and you should use them. If you head on over to britishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, you will see all the voucher codes that you can type in on checkout with UK2. All sorts of things like 20% off domain names, VPS, VPNs, all that kind of stuff. If you use the click through on our page, it's quite important that UK2 see that we've sent you there, other than them just getting the code off of like a voucher site or something like that. But they're absolutely fantastic. I use them for all of my websites, and I haven't come across a host that's as quick on support and as good as UK2. So please use them. They support British Tech, and we hope you would support them too. So, gentlemen. Had a bit of a screw up on the not to a huge degree.
It was fine.
It was I completely forgot to send the guys the games till Friday this week, so we've only had a couple of days to play the games. So how did you get on, Sam? You had Grimm Episode 1. Actually, you had the whole Grimm Season 1, but I assumed you would only play Episode 1.
Yeah, you're like a little gnome thing that scurries around dirty. It's a bit like being Chiz, actually. I think. Because you just scurry around making everything dirty. And you fart on things and piss on things as well.
Right.
And he's essentially in like fairyland and he's ruining everything.
I'm going to sue.
Yeah.
This is like,
you should do.
Yeah,
it's based on your life.
This is infringement.
Yeah. So he just scurries around doing that. And wherever you walk, it all goes kind of dirty.
Right.
Yeah, you're just kind of wandering around and kind of corrupting the world. So, like, so Gileppo and Pinocchio will be hanging out in the village, and your mission will be go and corrupt Pinocchio. So you dirty up the village, and then you bum drop him. That's what it's called.
It's bum drop on Pinocchio,
and then he goes into turns into a psycho and runs off and kills people. Actually, it's all right.
$2.99.
It's all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you only get episode one done, or did you get a few episodes?
To be honest, even that small game took hours and hours and hours to complete.
You mean download?
To complete the download.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like it should be called Dickhead the Game.
Yeah, basically.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I only really got like a small crack at it, like. Yesterday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
And then I ran off to play Fallout, which, incidentally, I think is a freaking awesome game.
Cool.
There you go. Farting away. Sorry, Paul's watching the video for it.
So $2.99, but you actually get 8 episodes for that $2.99. I think it's about £1 for one of the episodes in their own, so you're probably better buying all three. But yeah, so a
positive
recommendation.
I think a kid would quite enjoy it, because it's got a fair amount of kind of toilet humour and stuff in it, and it's, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Very good. Chiz, you had Gunman Clive.
Yeah. Which is basically a side-scrolling shooting game. You think of Metal Slug, but like one bullet and you're dead. So basically, and when you die, you have to start the whole level over again.
Right.
Which is like, which, you know, didn't get bored after 10 deaths. it's got a distinctive art style. It looked all right. But no, not my sort of game at all. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
a
generic
kind
old school side
scroll. It's old films, hasn't it? It's nice.
It's quite a tricky old game. Little mechanics of it are kind of like just pretty classic, but it's just, I needed a checkpoint system to stay with it. I was like, oh, I can't be bored of this.
But
it's a nice little cheap little game. If it's your sort of thing, if you're a fan of like it's Metal Slug and things like that. But
it's £1.59.
Yeah.
I had Speedrunners, which actually is very good. I think Speedrunners was, what, £2 or something like that? I can't remember.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll bring it up while I'm talking here. So basically, it's if you played the game Cannibal, it's very like that, but there's two different games you can play. So you can play one game where you're against three other... Oh, actually, it's $6.99 now. I'm assuming you bought it on sale. And you bought it for me.
Yes.
Yeah. It's $6.99 just now. So there's two different versions of the game. One is very level-based. So basically it's a side-scroller. And you run along and you have to jump and you've got a grappling hook and you jump and hit your grappling hook up onto the roof and things like that, and you swing and all sorts of other things.
It basically looks like a competitive Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, yeah, very much like that. But as a single player, you don't do it competitively. You're just against the time, and the idea is it's all done in like kind of comic book art. So the cut screens in between the levels is like comic book panels, and you're fighting against a bad guy that's got like bombs and stuff, and you run at the end of the level to just hit the button for it to defuse the bomb. So it's quite good. It's all based on very, very short times and things like that. Then you can play a four player. The tutorial is a four player, which is quite cool. You're actually playing against nobody else. So like you're playing against a computer, or you can play four player against other people. You can do things like your grappling hook. You get special weapons as the game goes on. Your grappling hook, you can shoot forward and grab the person in front of you and pull them back. And sometimes that actually throws them out of the screen, which means that they've died. Basically, the game keeps going, last man standing, and you do laps of the level and things like that. But I have to be honest, for $6.99. Not sure it's worth it.
Seems a bit pricey.
If you find it on sale, I would definitely say it's worth it for kind of maybe £3, £2 or something like that. But it's worth it definitely for just having a bit of a play with. So, but it was all right. Actually, I've just noticed the version I've got to beta. I don't know if this is on beta. Oh, it is actually. I was going to say maybe this is the full game that's $6.99, and the beta was like kind of £2 or something like that. But if you get it on Steam sale, I would highly recommend picking it up. But I think £7's a bit pricey for it. But I have... what games have you guys got lined up this week?
I did look up. I've forgotten his name.
Well, I do my game.
Sanctum.
Sanctum. Who's that for?
It's...
You
do you know what?
You
I'd
chiz,
almost be tempted to say that we all do it.
All right,
it looks quite cool, and it's only £1.04 at the moment.
£1.04, right?
Yeah. And so I thought we could splash out on that.
Is it a game we can play together, or is it single?
I'm not sure if we can play it together, and even if we could, I probably couldn't. It should be on the front screen of Steam.
Okay.
I just saw it this morning, actually, and I thought it looked quite funky.
So is that,
it's like a tower defense game, but with a difference, it says. And it looks kind of third person, and you run around doing stuff and fighting big guys. And the graphics... for £1.04, I thought looked really quite nice. So, yeah, I say we give that a shot. Otherwise, I'll just chop it in whoever's direction because it can play on Mac and PC.
Cool, okay. I can't find Sanctum.
Oh, well.
It's not there.
It was up there this morning.
Oh, no, right. So, Sanctum, well, do you want to give that to Chiz then?
And, okay.
Okay. Because my game I've got for you, so that makes more sense. So, I've got Paper Sorcerer. Paper Sorcerer is a stylish single-player turn-based RPG focused on strategy, party building, and environmental puzzles. Fight with the skills and spells you've learned in a battle system that emphasizes strategy over grinding. Assemble a party of monsters and dark creatures to fight alongside you. I thought this was quite up your street, Sam.
Sounds all right, actually.
Yeah, so that's your one. It's
called... not like a paper one, is it? It's not.
I think
like...
that's the graphic style. I think it's kind of black and white, kind of sepia type look about it.
Yeah.
$3.99, Paper Sorcerer.
But, oh, it's quite expensive.
And for you, Paul, you have Kami, or I believe it's Japanese for paper, I think.
Oh, I almost gave that to somebody and then thought, no, that looks like crap. So I'm not giving that to anybody. You've given it to me. Yeah, very nice. Yeah. Like,
which looks like it's like a...
it's a paper folding game.
Paper folding, yes. Puzzle game.
That, it looks awful.
It might be fun.
So they turned origami into a computer game.
Yeah. Well, it's crap origami, because you're not making birds. You're just changing the paper to turn it into different colours. It's nice. Like
that is poor.
A Rubik's Cube paper folding nonsense.
That is poor.
Can't wait for to hear Paul's review next.
Thank you very much, Chiz. Yeah. Anyway, so that's our show. Thank you very much for listening. If you've got anything to say to us, very much like Martin did at the beginning of the show, which is very kind of him, please email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. If you want to follow the network, it's at British Tech. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Paul Wheatley. And if you want to follow Sam, it's at Dr. Nasty Flaps.
Don't bother.
Please like us on Facebook and follow our Google Plus community. We have varying levels of interaction with both those places, and it kind of goes in fits and starts, but we generally try and read both of them before
there's
the show.
There's only three of us, and we're really lazy.
Incredibly.
So please follow both of them. That's basically us. So thank you very much for listening, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Good night.
Shall we play a game of cock or ball? Hard even touching that. It's...
I need to get little bouncy cradle things for these. I keep meaning to do it. And you know, like the ones we used to have for the road podcasters that.
Yeah.
They're little springy things inside them.
That time that you cover your entire room in egg boxes. It's awesome. We should do that again.
Rogue podcasters that live out in the wild.
So yeah, you're both looking forward to Sam's painting party.
What?
It's going to be the most excellent party we've ever had.
You're having a painting party. A painting party.
Just pay people with booze to come and paint my house.
Okay.
Have you bought a house?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Where about?
In your bedroom.
All right. I thought we'd have noticed you, but you know, you do have a powerful smell. Overpowering, I would say.
Right, okay, are we good to go?
It's like asbestos and marmite.
Right.
Smelly one. Mink.
Shit weasel.
The shit weasel does have a certain...
Right, you good to go?
Yeah.
Sam's checking his match.com.
Okay.
Dave.
Hello!
Applied back.
You ready to go?
Hi.
Hi.
Is that how we're starting?
No.
No, okay, not. Good.